ago, the great British explorer George Mallory, who was to die on Mount Everest, was asked, why did he want to climb it? He said, because it is there. Well, space is there, and we're going to climb it. And the moon and the planets are there, and new hopes for knowledge and peace are there. And therefore, as we set sail, we ask God's blessing on the most hazardous and dangerous and greatest adventure on which man has ever embarked.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Space is there. The moon and planets are there. The mysteries of creation are there. And suddenly, man is there. He has climbed the steepest of all gradients to reach where no other living thing has gone before. July 16th, 1969, a bright morning. Cape Kennedy falls away in a hurry. Apollo 11, riding atop a superb Roman candle named Saturn, burns into the sky. There are three on the passenger list: Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Mike Collins. Tucked away into their command module, the Columbia, is a lunar module, Eagle. 11 climbs the long, lonely trajectory toward their moving target, which sails around the Earth at the steady, serene speed of 2,300 miles per hour.
This is Apollo Control, Houston. Apollo 11 still passing around the far side of the moon.
A good burn makes a spacecraft happy. And when Apollo 11 swings around to the near side again, Collins has one to report.
Hey, loud and clear, Houston, how are
you? Roger, reading you the same now. Could you repeat your burn status report? We copied the residuals and burn time, and that was about it.
It was like perfect.
And the spacecraft is looking good to us on telemetry.
The mightiest command of the space age is just a two-letter word, go. The most dramatic of all goes from Houston is given to Eagle after separation from Columbia.
Columbia, Houston, we're standing by, over.
Houston, Columbia, reading you loud and clear.
Mike, how did it go, over?
Listen, baby, everything's going just swimmingly. Beautiful.
Great. We're standing by for Eagle. Eagle, Houston, we read you now. You're go for PDI, over.
Eagle is go for power descent to the moon.
Roger, understand. Stabilization control circuit breakers. And override. Off.
It is Sunday on most of the Earth, a good day for watching and prayer, when Armstrong and Aldrin aboard Eagle start dropping to the lunar surface. So far, every space maneuver of this historic voyage has been tried on our other flights, but not this. This is all new, a landing on the moon.
You're a go to continue power descent. Roger.
Only for a total eclipse of the sun have so many people stopped in their tracks to follow a celestial event. The braking engine keeps firing, straining to neutralize the force of the moon's gravity as Armstrong reads out the dwindling speed of descent and shrinking altitude while looking for a clear landing site.
And Eagle, Houston, you're still looking good.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Manual attitude control is good.
Roger, copy.
Altitude 4,200.
Houston, you're a go for landing. Over.
Roger, understand. Go for landing. 3,000 feet. 2,000 feet, into the ag, 47 degrees.
Looking great, your go.
700 feet, 21 down, 33 degrees. And 400 feet down at 9. Got the shadow up there. Altitude, velocity, light. 100 feet, 3.5 down, 9 forward. 185. 75 feet. That's looking good.
60 seconds.
Lights on. Forward. Forward. 40 feet down, 2.5. Picking up some dust.
Eagle hovers.
30 feet, two
just
and a half
feet
down.
Away from either crashing or realizing the dream of millenniums.
Four forward. Drift into the right a little.
30 seconds.
Contact light. Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent. Hose control, both auto, descent engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in. Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Collins and the orbiting mother craft has closely followed the talk down.
Yes, sir, Henry, Columbia, again.
Roger, we rigged your fire by Columbia. He has landed Tranquility Base. Eagle, is at Tranquility, over.
Yeah, I heard the whole thing. Fantastic.
Just about everybody on Earth, certainly everyone on the moon, draws a sigh of relief. Armstrong loses no time explaining why the descent may have seemed longer than the predicted nominal flight plan.
Houston, that may have seemed like a very long final phase. The auto-targeting was taking us right into a football field-sized crater with a large number of big boulders and rocks, and it required us to fly in manually over the rock field to find a reasonably good area.
Can we copy? It was beautiful from here.
The first question on everybody's mind, how does the moon look?
Now, we'll get to the details of what's around here, but it looks like a collection of just about every variety of shape, angularity, granularity, but every variety of rock you could find. Looks as though they're going to have some interesting colors to them, over.
Tranquility, be advised, lots of smiling faces in this room and all over the world, over.
There are two of them up here.
There is also a smiling face between the moon and Earth. Lonely Mike Collins in Columbia.
And don't forget one in the command module.
Roger.
Armstrong and Aldrin suit up in their bulky life support gear, then slowly depressurize the cabin. It seems like hours before that hatch door is opened to the airless, windless, soundless vacuum of the moon.
Neil, this is Houston. What's your status on hatch opening?
Everything is go here. We're just waiting for the cabin pressure to blow enough pressure to open the hatch.
The events of the next 20 minutes, opening the hatch, climbing out on the porch, and climbing down the ladder, are condensed in what you now hear. But every inch and every second were followed by awestruck millions on a distant Earth lit by the same summer sun.
The hatch is coming open. Okay. By call, pump secondary circuit breaker open. It's open. Verified. How am I doing?
You're doing fine.
Okay, Houston, I'm on the porch.
Roger, Neil.
Okay, can you pull the door open a little more?
Right.
I'm going to pull it now.
Buzz, this is Houston. Radio check and verify TV circuit breaker.
Roger, TV circuit breaker's in.
And we're getting a picture on the TV. Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
Slowly stepping backwards down the ladder, Armstrong lowers himself for the final few feet of a journey that started on another planet.
I'm at the foot of the ladder. I'm going to step off the limb now.
The touch of his left foot on the lunar surface marks the opening, symbolically and in fact, of a new era for mankind. The accompanying words are simple and stark and poetic.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. And with that small step comes an onrush of scientific knowledge, beginning immediately with an answer to a worrisome question. Is the moon's surface firm, spongy, crusty, dusty?
Surface is fine and powdery. I can pick it up loosely with my toe. It does adhere in fine layers, like powdered charcoal, to the and insides of my boot. But I can see the footprints of my boots and the treads in the fine sandy particles.
This is Houston, we're copying.
There seems to be no difficulty in moving around, perhaps easier than the simulations of 1/6G that we performed on the ground. Absolutely no trouble to walk around.
Okay, gonna get the contingency sample in.
It's very interesting. It's a very soft surface, but here and there where I plug with the contingency sample collector, I run into a very hard surface, but it appears to be very cohesive material of the same sort. I'll try to get a rock in here.
Oh, that looks beautiful from here, Neil.
It has a stark beauty all its own. It's like much of the high desert of the United States. It's different, but it's very pretty out here.
Every tourist visiting a place for the first time is eager to look around as soon as he gets there. But Armstrong's first tour is a tour of inspection. He goes right to work checking the condition of the limb. Once he is satisfied that the eagle's feathers are all in place, Armstrong gives Aldrin the signal to come out.
Okay, ready for me to come out?
Yeah, just stand by a second. I'll move this over the handrail. Okay, you saw what difficulties I was having. Okay, now drop your bliss down. There you go, you're clear.
Now I want to back up and partially close that, making sure not to lock it on my way out.
Good thought.
That's our home for the next couple hours. We want to take good care of it.
On a leg of the module is a stainless steel plaque to commemorate the landing. It will remain on the moon as long as the moon is there.
Neil is now unveiling the plaque.
We'll read the plaque that's on the front landing gear of this LAM. Dear men from the planet Earth, first set foot upon the moon, July 1969. We came in peace for all mankind. It has the crew members' signatures and the signature of the President of the United States.
Our moon party explores the immediate surroundings of Tranquility Base, plants scientific devices, and picks up sample rocks. During this, Collins in the command module orbiting above is naturally curious as to how things are going.
Columbia, Columbia, this is Houston, AOS, over.
Yeah, radio loud and clear, how's it going?
Roger, the EVA is progressing beautifully. I believe they're setting up the flag now.
Great.
They've got the flag up now, and you can see the stars and stripes on the lunar
system. Beautiful, just beautiful.
So far, all Earth-Moon communication has been between ground control at Houston and the two spacecraft. But now, it becomes a party line.
Neil and Buzz, the President of the United States is in his office now and would like to say a few words to you, over.
That would be an honor.
Go ahead, Mr. President. This is Houston out.
Hello, Neil and Buzz. For every American, this has to be the proudest day of our lives. And for people all over the world, I am sure they too join in recognizing what an immense feat this is. For one priceless moment in the whole history of man, all the people on this earth are truly one. One in their pride in what you have done, and one in our prayers that you will return safely to earth.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a great honor and privilege for us to be here representing not only the United States, but man of peace of all nations, man with interest and a curiosity, and man with a vision for the future. Honor for us to be able to participate here today.
Man's concept of the heavens has undergone many changes since it was first pictured as a habitat for angels. But on this July Sunday, the surface of the moon is established as a geologist's heaven.
Neil Armstrong has the scoop for the bulk sample collection.
And I'm picking up several pieces of really vesicular rock out here now.
In the foreground, Buzz Aldrin is collecting a core tube sample.
I hope you're watching how hard I have to hit this into the ground to the tune of about 5 inches, Houston.
Roger.
It almost looks wet.
Got it, sample.
Neil, this is Houston. After you've got the core tubes and the solar wind, anything else that you can throw into the box would be acceptable.
Okay, can you quickly stick this in my pocket, Neil, and I'll head on up the ladder.
Got it.
Okay. Adios, amigos.
Hey.
Anything more before I head on up, Bruce?
Head on up the ladder, Buzz.
Okay, I'm heading on in.
Okay. And we got about, I'd say 20 pounds of carefully selected, if not documented, samples.
Houston, Roger, well done.
The men are back aboard, back in what Aldrin has called home, their home on the moon. There is some trouble closing the hatch door but it finally yields.
Now move your foot and I'll get the hatch. Okay, the hatch is closed and latched.
Eagle sits quietly for 22 hours on the moon, during which Armstrong and Aldrin throw overboard the spacesuits they used in their walk, backpacks, everything they don't need in order to conserve weight. They break for dinner, stretch out to sleep, doze fitfully, then get up, check and double-check all instruments. And at last, they're ready for the next go, the life-or-death liftoff. The moon is a nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to die there.
Eagle, Houston, now you're looking good up. Got your guidance steering in the egg. Dave, has your arm on?
You're cleared for takeoff.
Roger, understand. We're number one on the runway.
Roger.
Now comes the most critical countdown in the entire history of spaceflight. There is no escape tower this time, no chance to abort, no rescue.
8, 7, 6, 5, port stage, engine arm ascent, proceed. Shadow, beautiful. 26, 36 feet per second up. Very smooth. Very quiet ride. There's that one crater on there.
1,000 feet high, 80 feet per second vertical rise.
A little bit of slow wallowing back and forth.
Eagle Houston, you're looking good at 2. Ping, zags, and mid-spin, all agree.
That's 1,170 up, beautiful, 14,000. I'm going right down US-1.
You're going right down the track. Everything's great.
On up to orbiting altitude, where the engine can be shut down, and tracks made for rendezvous and docking with Columbia behind the moon.
700 to go. Okay, I'm going to open up the main shutoff. 350 to go. Stand by on the engine arm. 90. Okay, off. 50. Shut down.
They've made it. They have now only to link up with the Columbia, crawl back into the command module, jettison the faithful Eagle, only fire the burn that will return Columbia to Earth, only make the classic shuttle run home. Only, did I say? That's the way it is with exploration. Man had only to discover that the world was round, that the oceans were traversable, that he could speak and be heard through the ethers, that he could fly, that he could leave one planet and travel to another. This giant leap could take us anywhere, for man has at last hitched his wagon to a star. And since tranquility has been reached on the surface of the moon, let us hope it will never again seem so astronomically far to peace on Earth.